Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're really getting into something significant.
We are.
We're looking at the human side of the Trump administration's deportation policies, specifically how they impacted evangelical and Catholic communities here in the States.
That's right. And our main source for this is Christian Culture News, which gives us a pretty good view from, you know, ground level.
So what's the plan for this deep dive?
Well, we're going to break it down. We'll look at the policies themselves. The demographics, who was actually affected in these communities.
Okay.
Then how the communities responded religiously and practically. We'll touch on some personal stories, too, which are always powerful.
Yeah, they bring it home, don't they?
Definitely. And then the legal, the social challenges, the solidarity that emerged, political aspects, and maybe a little look ahead at potential future impacts.
Sounds comprehensive. Our goal, as always, is to really distill the key insights, give you that shortcut to understanding a complex issue.
Exactly. Cut through the noise.
Okay, so let's dive right in. The deportation policies themselves. Christian Culture News says the administration prioritized strict enforcement. What did that actually mean?
Well, the core idea was definitely a push for much stricter enforcement of existing immigration laws. The stated goal was, you know, boosting border security and cutting down on unauthorized immigration.
And how did they aim to achieve that?
Primarily through increasing detentions and consequently increasing the number of deportations. It was a numbers game in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really crucial, according to the reporting, is the atmosphere this created, a real climate of uncertainty, even fear.
Particularly for immigrants connected to these faith groups.
Yes, exactly. Because evangelical and Catholic organizations often form, you know, vital support networks for these communities. So that feeling of instability hit hard there.
And it wasn't just policy shifts, right? The tactics mentioned sound quite aggressive.
They were definitely described as more assertive. We saw an increase in immigration raids, for instance, sometimes very visibly conducted within communities.
Right.
And there was also a greater emphasis on cooperation between federal immigration authorities, like ICE and local police departments.
Oh, so local cops getting involved in immigration. That's usually federal, isn't it?
Typically, yes. But this involved asking, sometimes pressuring, local law enforcement to help identify and detain people suspected of being undocumented.
Okay, I could see how that would blur lines.
It did, and it understandably fostered unease, maybe even mistrust, towards officials among immigrant groups.
And concern within the churches themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Evangelical and Catholic leaders became quite concerned about the well-being, the safety of their congregants caught up in this.
So to really understand the impact, we need to know who we're talking about demographically within these churches.
Precisely. Christian Culture News emphasizes this. You need the numbers to see the potential reach.
Okay, so what are the broad strokes?
Well, evangelicals are a big group, roughly 25% of the U.S. population. Catholics, too, around 20%, significant segments. But the really telling figures, the ones highlighted, are the estimated percentages of undocumented immigrants within those groups.
Right. The report says about 8% in evangelical congregations and maybe 12% in Catholic parishes.
Exactly. Now, those percentages might sound small initially.
But when you factor in the sheer size of those communities.
Right. The article translates that to roughly 1 in 12 people in these faith groups potentially facing the direct consequences of these ramped up deportation efforts.
1 in 12, that's quite a lot of people.
It is. And these aren't just abstract numbers, are they? These are people woven into the fabric of families, local churches, communities.
And these churches, both evangelical and Catholic, often have a history of reaching out to immigrants, don't they?
They really do. It's often rooted in their core values, compassion, humanitarian concerns. Many actively provide support, resources, a sense of belonging.
So the fear of deportation must have been particularly disruptive in that context.
Hugely disruptive. Think about the emotional impact, the social fallout.
And the article mentions mixed status families, too. That must add another layer of complexity.
A huge layer.
Yeah.
Mixed status families where you have citizens, legal residents, and undocumented members all in the same household are common in both evangelical and Catholic settings.
So the fear isn't just about one person. It's about tearing the whole family apart.
Exactly. The constant worry about separation caused immense emotional distress. And practical problems, too. Economic instability if a breadwinner was detained or deported.
Wow. So it really rippled outwards, affecting even those with legal status.
Absolutely. A pervasive anxiety that touched many, many lives within these communities.
Okay, so given all that, the fear, the potential impact, How did these faith communities actually respond? What did they do?
Well, the response described by Christian Culture News was pretty multifaceted. It was really driven by their theological convictions, you know, beliefs about family, human dignity.
So religious leaders spoke out?
They did.
Yeah.
Many became quite vocal, expressing serious concerns, advocating for the vulnerable people and families being affected.
And did that advocacy go beyond just words? Were there actions?
Oh, definitely. It wasn't just sermons. The reporting details things like lobbying legislators trying to influence policy at state and federal levels towards more humane approaches.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw participation in peaceful protests, marches, public displays showing solidarity.
Right.
And many churches set up community dialogues, trying to raise awareness, share the human stories behind it all.
So key figures were involved, pastors, bishops.
Yes, prominent evangelical pastors, Catholic bishops. They used their platforms to call for reforms that aligned with their faith's values, like compassion and justice.
And what about direct support for the people affected? It sounds like there was a need for immediate help.
There absolutely was, and churches stepped up. Many established specific support programs.
Like what kind of programs?
Things like offering legal assistance, maybe connecting people with lawyers, or just helping them understand their rights. Financial aid was also crucial for families facing economic hardship from detention or deportation.
Makes sense.
And maybe most importantly, churches often became places for emotional and spiritual support, counseling, community, to being there for people in incredibly stressful times.
The article mentions the sanctuary movement too, particularly in Catholic parishes.
Yes, that's a very visible example. Some churches offered actual physical refuge to undocumented immigrants who were facing imminent deportation. A powerful statement.
Like evangelical groups?
Similar efforts on community outreach.
Yeah.
Focusing on providing resources, helping immigrants integrate, navigate services, that sort of thing.
It really sounds like their core religious teachings were central to all this.
Without a doubt. That idea of protecting the vulnerable, the marginalized, it's deeply embedded.
The call to welcome the stranger.
Exactly. That's a foundational concept in both traditions. It was interpreted as a real moral imperative to act, to show hospitality and care. It really fueled the activism and the support efforts.
Okay, the report then moves into personal stories. And this is often where the statistics become, well, human.
Yes, absolutely. The numbers tell one story, but the individual accounts reveal the real lived trauma.
Like the story of Maria.
Right. A Catholic mother, three kids, fled violence back home, only to face an immigration raid here. The article paints a picture of just sheer terror. Constant uncertainty, you can only imagine.
And it says her experience wasn't unique within her church.
Sadly, no. Many others in her congregation apparently shared similar stories. Family members lost to deportation, families broken apart, the community grieving together.
There's also the story of Tom, the evangelical pastor.
Mm-hmm. He described the distress in his church when a family was suddenly separated, but also how the congregation rallied, offering practical help, emotional support. It shows the community bond, but also the shared sense of loss.
And Luis's story, the young man worried about deportation while trying to get ready for college.
Yeah, that highlights the psychological strain, doesn't it? The constant background anxiety for people just trying to build a future must have been exhausting.
So these stories, as Christian Culture News points out, they really underscore the human cost far beyond the policy debates.
Exactly. They show the stark realities, the ways lives were profoundly disrupted.
Now, beyond that immediate threat of deportation, what about the other legal and social challenges immigrants were facing?
Well, a huge one highlighted in the reporting was access to legal help, or rather, the lack of it.
Because it's expensive.
Very. Many undocumented immigrants simply couldn't afford a lawyer for complex immigration proceedings, so they often ended up representing themselves.
Which, in a complicated legal system, is incredibly difficult.
Extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And it often led to worse outcomes. Even if they might have had a case with proper representation, it created this immense vulnerability.
Mm.
And add to that the general fear of persecution, the anxiety just constantly fueled by the aggressive enforcement tactics we talked about.
So people became afraid of any contact with authorities.
Pretty much. The article notes people feared that even a routine traffic stop or reporting a crime could somehow lead back to their immigration status and deportation.
So they'd withdraw, avoid engaging.
Understandably, yes. It could discourage community participation, even seeking essential things like health care.
The psychological toll of just living like that sounds immense.
Devastating. The report mentions significant increases in anxiety, depression, various mental health issues within these communities. Living under that constant threat takes a heavy toll.
And there is stigma, too, even within the church community sometimes.
Yes, the stigma associated with being undocumented could sometimes make it hard for people to even seek support from their own congregations, which leads to more isolation, feeling alone.
It paints a pretty bleak picture, but it's encouraging that the next section talks about community solidarity and support initiatives.
It is, because despite all these massive challenges, the reporting shows these evangelical and Catholic communities really did mobilize. They showed resilience, compassion.
Creating support networks.
Yeah. Exactly. Crucial networks for people affected.
Yeah.
We already mentioned sanctuary churches offering that physical and psychological safe haven.
Right.
But also things like legal aid clinics popping up.
Often run by church volunteers.
Yes. Volunteer lawyers, paralegals from within the congregations stepping up to offer guidance, help with paperwork, connect people to low-cost legal help. Invaluable assistance.
And they were also involved in broader advocacy.
Mm-hmm. Playing active roles in immigrant rights advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
Things like joining marches, running public awareness campaigns, holding community workshops.
Trying to change the narrative, raise awareness.
Precisely. Trying to foster a more informed and more compassionate conversation about immigration. It all stemmed, as the article suggests, from that moral imperative in their faith to support the marginalized, to seek justice.
Now, all this must have had political ripple effects too, right? How did it impact the political engagement of these communities?
That's a really interesting angle the reporting covers. It suggests these deportation policies essentially put these faith communities with their strong moral viewpoints at a kind of crossroads politically.
How so?
Well, that moral drive to protect the vulnerable acted as a real catalyst. It spurred increased political engagement, not just from leaders, but from ordinary church members, too.
Did it actually shift how people voted?
The article suggests it did for many. Some evangelical and Catholic voters started placing a higher priority on candidates who emphasized, you know, compassion and reform in immigration policy.
Even in local races.
Apparently so. It signaled a growing desire within these communities for more humane approaches. We also saw grassroots movements emerging, specifically focused on the injustices faced by families affected by deportation.
So the churches themselves got more involved politically.
Definitely. Organizations within both evangelical and Catholic traditions ramped up their political outreach.
Beyond just helping people directly.
Yes. Educating their members about voting, about civic engagement on these issues, holding workshops, forums to empower people to speak to elected officials, mobilize support for legislative changes.
And working together.
Mm-hmm. The report mentions increased collaboration. Different faith-based groups forming broader coalitions to advocate more effectively for immigrant rights, trying to foster a more inclusive public dialogue.
Okay, so looking down the road, what does Christian Culture News suggest might be the future impacts of these kinds of policies on these communities?
Well, the outlook presented suggests likely significant, potentially long-lasting consequences.
Your short term.
In the immediate future, probably continued high levels of anxiety and instability for families, especially mixed status ones. The emotional toll on separated families could lead to more widespread mental health issues.
Mm.
And there's concern that the disruption could weaken those community support networks we talked about.
And longer term, what are the worries there?
Longer term, the article points to a potential loss of diversity and talent if people are deported or leave due to fear.
Which could impact the churches themselves.
Right. It could strain their ability to carry out social missions if they lose volunteers, contributors. There's also mention of potential increased social isolation for those who remain, maybe even a drop in overall religious participation.
So it could really change the character of these communities over time.
It could. But the article also raises another possibility that these experiences might lead to a kind of rethinking, a reassessment within these communities about how they engage with immigration policy.
In what way?
Perhaps leading to a stronger, more unified stance on advocacy, really doubling down on those core values of compassion and justice when they engage with these issues politically. A potential silver lining, maybe.
So wrapping up this deep dive, it's clear the impact was profound.
Undeniably. These policies touched countless lives, disrupted families, strained the moral conscience of these faith communities, and caused significant emotional and psychological harm.
And it really highlights that tension between the core values, kindness, mercy, family, and the realities faced by many immigrants within those same communities.
Absolutely. The human impact, as we've seen, goes so much deeper than statistics. These are real lives, real families, altered by policy decisions.
This has been incredibly insightful. It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
About how our own community values, whatever they may be, connect with the experiences of marginalized groups.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe prompts us to consider what actions, even small ones, could help build a more just and compassionate society for everyone. Something to reflect on.